One of my favorite artists moved on to the next plane recently, prematurely. But before that happened, he left many, many gifts. Just one was the genius of his lyricism. He sang, "There's things you can guess and things that you know. There's boys you can trust and girls that you don't. There's little things you hide and little things that you show. Sometimes you think you're gonna get it, but you don't. And that's just the way it goes." I love how he captures this dance between exposing the heart's desire and the taste of rejection. Magical two-sided coin. So today on a special Stamp Judgment, we proudly present Heart's Desire. Amazing stories about what the heart wants and what it doesn't. My name is Glenn Washington. Come on! Because you're listening to Snap Judgment. We're going to kick off the Heart's Desire episode on the Snap Judgment live stage with super snapper Josh Healy.
How to help your mother set up her profile on J-Date. One, let the phone ring 7 times before picking up. That way it seems like you're busy, but never too busy for her. After the usual small talk about what are you doing with your day, what are you doing with your life, she will ask this favor. Your mother always asks, never commands. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But you've never got a request / demand like this before. Help your mom set up an online dating profile? Your first instinct will be to hang up the phone. Ignore it. Remember, after all, this is still the woman who pays for your health insurance. 2, do not question her choice of a username. If she wants to be known as Kabbalah Queen 57 or Bernal Heights Bookworm or my personal favorite, the Hebrew Tina Turner, respect that decision. No need to spend too much time brainstorming. 3, don't mention your father. 4, when she mentions your father, she will use words like schmuck and she will not be talking about body parts. Thank God that when she's talking about your father, she isn't using those words to talk about body parts. She will vent about how he left her for a younger woman, remarried not even 5 months after the divorce, how she had to raise you and your brother on her own while he got to show up on the weekend and play Batman. She hates Batman. She likes the villains, the jokers, the two-faced tricksters. They're more honest with their flaws, she will say. More fun with them too. 5, let her tell the truth. Let her stretch it as far as her broadband can go. Let her put her age as 57, her hometown as Detroit, why not? Her religious affiliation as Reconstructionist because she thinks that makes her sound exotic. It's a Jewish joke. Smile when she says her favorite singer is Otis Redding, despite the fact you know it's David Lee Roth. Her favorite drink is tequila, kombucha, and the two things she can't live without are her boys and her bagels. Don't ask which order, remember to buy some bagels. bite your tongue when she describes herself as easygoing. Non-judgmental. Deeply spiritual. And a Michelin certified 4-star chef. Let her be whoever she wants to be. Maybe there is more about this woman than you know. 6. You have to ask eventually, right? Mom, you don't go to synagogue. You eat pork chops on Yom Kippur. You hate Woody Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, Billy Crystal, and definitely my father. Mom, why are you looking for a guy on J-Date? And she'll say, well, I tried ChristianSingles.com, but every guy on there was wearing a sweater vest. Not really my thing. And you think there might be something more, something about going for what's familiar, what's comfortable, the devil you know versus the devil you don't. But this is a point you decide not to push. 7, you take a break to make lunch. You have turkey on wheat, she wants a BLT on challah. She's a complicated woman. You sit down at the table to make the sandwiches. It's the same table that her and your pops told you they were splitting up. You can still picture it. Your mom and him on one side, you and your brother on the other. A box of tissues in between. Next to your father, a bright red suitcase. You were 11. You didn't understand how much he could fit in that one bag. How what he took could fill a mansion. And your mother will call you from the computer room and say, hey, Chef Boyardee, where's my sandwich? Some requests are easier than others. Some rules meant to be broken. You throw an extra piece of bacon on the sandwich and say, I'm coming, Mom. 8, the sun is setting. And you have to get home before the last BART train closes or goes on strike again. And you believe in solidarity, but you also believe in sleeping in your own bed, so you decide to finish this lightning round style. All right, Mom, you ready? Ready. What's your perfect first date? A sunset walk along the Embarcadero. What qualities are you looking for in a man? Richard Gere's face and Angela Davis's politics. What quote do you live by? Have it your way. Who said that? Burger King. What drives you crazier? A Berkeley hippie or a Texas Republican? A Berkeley Republican. Have you ever done cocaine? Once. Really? How was it? Awesome. That's why I only did it once. What do you think about Israel? Next question. What's your biggest regret in life? Dropping out of college to raise my children. I didn't know that. What's your biggest achievement? Being honest with my children. What do you need to be most happy in the world? My boys and my bagels. Then, Mom, why are you doing this? And your mother will look at you and say, because, despite my better judgment and long personal history, I still believe in men, and I still believe in love, and I want it at 61 the same I did at 41, the same I did at 21. And so I'm willing to put myself out here on this ridiculous website because you never know when the right schmuck will roll along and send you an instant message. And you type that in and you click submit and you tell your mother that when she goes on her first date, you expect her back before midnight. 11 if it's a school night.
Josh Healy.
The amazing Josh Healy. Original score composed by Alex Mandel, performed in real time by Alex and the Snap Judgment players Tim Frick and David Brand. Now, Snappers, this is a special Snap episode, and I want you to know first that we hear you. The letters, the emails, the notes. People are newly terrified for their brothers and sisters, the Muslim neighbors down the street, the transgender kid trying to make her way, maybe the undocumented mother whose kids are scared to let her leave the house, afraid of the hate. Here at Snap, our island of misfit toys, we're scared too. But we know that it is so hard, maybe it's impossible, to hate someone if you know their story. That's why we're asking you to support the storytelling you love right now at snapjudgment.org. It's never been more important. Because understand, this space, it's special. It's fragile. And right now it's under assault. We're proud of the advertisers that support our work, but the real, the heavy lifting is done by Snappers. You're already one of us. It's in you. These stories, Snapper, they're in you. So stop right now. Stop everything. Stop. It takes just a moment. Support the storytelling you love and get a great thank you gift at snapjudgment.org. Snapjudgment.org. Thanks. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the Heart's Desire episode. What does the heart want? Now, please understand, Snappers, this next situation is kind of off. I'm just going to put that out there right off the bat. And Debbie Lum has a story. Snap Judgment.
You know, it's hard to grow up in America as an Asian woman and not encounter some Caucasian, usually Caucasian man, who has this sort of unusual attraction for Asian women. There's terms for it, like yellow fever, rice king, or Asiaphiles. It rhymes with pedophile for a certain reason. In my life, I've been hit on by so many men who would sort of stare a little bit too long. Then they kind of come up and try to speak to you in an Asian language that you don't speak. I was really tired of being objectified. And I thought, oh, hey, wouldn't it be a great idea to just turn the tables and point the camera in their direction? I decided to make the documentary Seeking Asian Female. So I went onto Craigslist and websites like AsiaFriendFinder.com, which they specialize in introducing Western men to Asian women. And I started asking the men who post ads there if they would talk to me for my film. I just wanted to understand why.
It's their hair. It's the long black hair that's really eye-catching.
It's the whole mysterious kind of look.
I think they give more consideration to how the man feels than sometimes themselves.
Yeah, they are kind of subtle and kind of quiet.
But Steven in particular had this kind of unfiltered quality about him and would say things like, you know, I was probably originally looking for a slave when I first started. I'm quoting him. And he would kind of laugh about that.
I get like a servant girl who would cook these beautiful meals, and you think, gee, would it be like that? No.
Of course, as an individual, I felt a little bit disturbed. But as a filmmaker, he was quite fascinating. So then I started filming him.
She looks so Chinese.
What does that mean?
You can't look any more Chinese than her.
What does that mean, she looks so Chinese?
You look very Chinese, too.
He really wasn't sort of marriage material for any woman. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't own a house. He didn't even own a car. Yet he had such an extreme, undying commitment to find an Asian woman. I thought he was just sort of living in a fantasy. He showed me all of these files that he kept, mail order catalogs. There were just pictures of hundreds of young Asian women.
These are different girls that I've written to. They're all just so beautiful.
He asked every single woman who he met, who he got to a first date with, if they would marry him. You know, I've been watching him search for, you know, many years, and I was cutting his storyline that he was never going to find anyone. And then I got this call from him, and he said, "Would you like to film my wedding? I found somebody in China who's going to marry me." I couldn't believe it. I almost felt sorry for Stephen. These women that he was dating online, they knew that he was sort of this prey that they could take advantage of. He would just send them money. So by the time he met Sandy, I had this really bad feeling that this was just going to get really ugly. So the first time I met Sandy was when she walked off the plane at San Francisco International Airport and landed in America for the first time.
This is Sandy.
你好。你好,你好。谢谢。不好意思,我汉语不好。哦,没关系。
She seemed really sweet. She seemed really innocent. I was thinking, how is this possible? She's 30, he's 60. And then I find out she doesn't actually speak English, and Stephen didn't speak any Chinese. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this poor young woman, she has no idea what's happening. And I felt this overwhelming need to sort of protect her. The first thing that Sandy did was that she took over the kitchen. And she just started scrubbing and cleaning. He loved it, obviously. He was in heaven. You know, she would cook these elaborate Chinese meals for him. She told Stephen, "I knew you weren't rich, but I didn't know you were poor."
People say, your husband have a house? Have a car? No, no house, no car, no money.
Sandy came from Huangshan in Anhui Province. Anhui Province is one of the poorest regions in China, and she grew up as a tea farmer. Then she migrated thousands of miles to Shenzhen, China. She found her way out of the factory floor and eventually became the executive secretary at a fashion company.
Everybody says it doesn't make sense. You should try to find a younger guy. And why would you choose him? I felt like we had so many similar interests and hobbies. And he's just so special. He's really not like anyone else. In China, it's not like I could ever marry someone rich. I've never wanted to marry for money. I think you marry the same kind of person that you are. It's better to be realistic, right?
Sometimes I'll come home and she'll be hiding behind the refrigerator or something. One time she was hiding in the closet and she lets me look around. She'll be in there smiling. It's like funny. It's funny. The day is full of little things like that. It's easy to share.
Even though Sandy seemed like she really liked Stephen, who could really tell? And I was sitting there thinking, you know, is this really just an act? And then I got a call, and it was Stephen saying, "You have to help me. We've had a major misunderstanding." And so I show up at their apartment. Sandy had found all these pictures that Stephen had collected of all the Asian women from before, and she just went ballistic.
In China, if you break up with someone, you can't still be friends. She asked him to buy all these things for her. Chinese people can't casually accept precious gifts from other people. Stupid.
Oh my gosh, these are genuine feelings that she has for him. Sandy was really hurt. So I'm hearing them fight and they're not communicating. It was really hard to watch them. struggle. So I began translating.
他没有说实话。好，我问他。
Okay, Stephen, why is it that you still have pictures of Molly?
It took a while to fade away, but I'm way over it.
Let me translate. Stephen 说他那个女的真的他心里没有什么感觉。
那是他说的，我们怎么知道他心？
She said that's what you say, but how do we know that your heart feels that way for real?
I can only prove my love day by day.
Oh my gosh, I can't translate that.
At the end of the scene, I realized, wait a minute, they've kind of made up. And how much of that was because I was translating? This is not what you're supposed to do as a documentary filmmaker. You're supposed to be in a behind the camera and not influence your subjects. The objectivity had gone completely out the window. I didn't want to be in this documentary. It was supposed to be about them. But I was becoming a character in the story. We really started to insert my backstory into the film. That, yes, full disclosure, I'm actually married to a white guy. The irony, of course, is that, you know, when I walk down the street with my husband, I'm sure other people were thinking the same thing about me. Like, oh, she's such a sellout. When Sandy arrived in America, she came in on the K-1 fiancé visa. And the way that works is you have 90 days to decide whether or not the person that you are engaged to is the person that you really want to marry. And if you don't marry that person, you have to go home. Eventually, they asked me to translate more and more. As I was translating them, I really started not just translating, but realized that I was kind of mediating and kind of becoming their marriage counselor. It got pretty crazy. I'd get these late night phone calls from them. Anytime they had a conflict, they would call me. As they really got to know each other, the reality hit. Her real life personality came out, and she was no longer this sort of figment of his imagination or this kind of, you know, ideal woman. She demanded that he step up to the plate and clean the house as well.
What? Speaking English. We gotta do that first before everything else?
No, only this. Clean house first.
This is how I'm supposed to deal with it? You dump it in here?
I'm sorry.
That's how you dump it. That's how you give it to me.
This is my life, and the man I chose. It's too late to go home now. I'll lose face. If I go home, I won't. It's impossible. You see, in China, everyone will talk behind my back. I won't be able to lift my head in public. So now I can only move forward. I can't look back.
I mean, it's really clear what you're getting out of this relationship, I think.
Well,
what do you think she gets out of it?
A chance at a new life, a new world? Oh, God.
So right when Sandy was really having some doubts about getting married, Stephen turned to me and he just came out and thanked me. He said, if it hadn't been for you, Sandy would have gone back to China by now. She told him that. I absolutely question whether I had done the right thing at that moment. Would she not perhaps be better off if she'd stayed in China or just went home? You know, Shenzhen is like this thriving metropolis, and she'd be living in her own culture where she could have a home, I mean, have friends and have her life. This had really gone too far. The success or failure of their relationship should not be reliant on me.
You've done a wonderful, miraculous job, even today. But you're not God. You're just a director.
Marriage should not be entered into lightly, but with certainty, mutual respect, and a sense of reverence that does not preclude humor.
Here they are about to get married, and there's all these unanswered questions. Should it, you know, is it the right thing? Should she really go through with it? And as I was filming them, I couldn't help wonder. They had this idea in their mind that they really wanted to get married, no matter what, no matter how absurd it was, no matter how difficult it might be. But at the same time, did I really have a part to play in them getting married? My first instinct was just to pick her up and take her back to China. But, you know, that's also kind of making an assumption that I know the right thing for her. It's so easy to go to this place where Sandy was a victim, but that doesn't give her enough credit. She was somebody who knew how to take care of herself and knew exactly what was the right thing for her.
With this ring that you wed an author as a symbol of our true love,
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
I watched Stephen progress. I watched him clean up his act, you know, slowly. He worked really hard to try to win the heart of this young Chinese woman.
At first, I went into this search thinking the traditional stereotype of getting someone who, you know, to stay home, do the housework, clean me, you know, take care of me, that kind of thing. But that's not very growth-oriented.
Oh my God. Everything looks good. Clean. Oh, thank you.
That's what I like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I totally have a soft spot for Stephen now. Is it condoning yellow fever? My whole relationship to yellow fever changed in the making of the film. It still makes me uncomfortable when I see an older Western man with a really young Asian woman. But at the same time now, I see those two people as individuals with their own story. I went into thinking that if I did this film, maybe I might cure him of his yellow fever. And yet, Stephen is still an Asiophile. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Try to figure that one out. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm friends with him and he's an Asiophile.
Oh yeah, snappers. Gonna want to check out Debbie Lum's documentary, Seeking Asian Female. Do that. Do that. The story, it was produced by a woman who knows nothing about this so-called yellow fever. Snapchat's own, Stephanie Fu. Snappers, this is your boy Glenn. With my neck stuck out. We heard that you wanted stories, new stories, from the borderlands, from inside refugee camps, from penitentiaries, from the forgotten, from young people building and young people running away from their futures, from old folk. And that's what we're working on right now, right this moment. But there is no net. I can't pay for it without your help. You make this train go. So please get on board at snapjudgment.org. We've got a fabulous prize, an instant download that will tell you how to tell your story. Get it right now or get a Snap Music download. But we have just a short time to make this happen. Get art. Get the Snap Judgment Live special. But get something and get it right now, Snappers. Support the stories you love at snapjudgment.org. Thank you.